Old Testament reading is from Isaiah chapter 56. Thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness, for soon my salvation will come and my deliverance be revealed. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord and to be his servants, everyone who keeps the Sabbath and does not profane it and holds fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. The Lord God, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, declares, I will gather yet others to him besides those already gathered. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle readings from Romans chapter 11. I ask them, has God rejected his people? By no means. For I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. Now I am speaking to you Gentiles. Inasmuch then as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry in order somehow to make my fellow Jews jealous and thus save some of them. For if their rejection means the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance mean but life from the dead? As regards the gospel, they are enemies of God for your sake. But as regards election, they are beloved for the sake of their forefathers. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Just as you were at one time disobedient to God, but now have received mercy because of their disobedience, so they too have now been disobedient, in order that by the mercy shown to you, they may also may now receive mercy. For God has consigned all to disobedience, that he may have mercy on all. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Continue with the Holy Gospel comes from Matthew chapter 15. Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, send her away, for she is crying out after us. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she came and knelt before him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered, it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. She said, yes, Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered her, O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Carnage may be seated. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the past few weeks, we've seen that Matthew narrates a direct teaching with an indirect teaching. The parables, the indirect, then get explained directly to the disciples. Jesus feeds the 5,000, but the disciples witness the walking on the water and hear the I am and recognize the Son of God. Our gospel reading today is the living embodiment or the indirect teaching or example of the direct teaching that Jesus gave right before it in Matthew's text. Some Pharisees had come out from Jerusalem, and they were confronting Jesus. Why do your disciples break the traditions of the elders? What this bunch was specifically worried about is ritual washing before meals. Jesus answered them back rather confrontationally, and why do you break the commandments of God for the sake of your tradition? And what he calls out is rather startling. Jesus goes on and quotes the fourth commandment, honor your father and your mother. And Jesus even quotes his amplification to them, whoever reviles his father or mother must surely die. The Pharisees, according to Jesus, have gamed the system, managing to get out of actually honoring father and mother while still claiming the moral high ground. Jesus says to them, you Pharisees say that if anyone tells his father or mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God, he need not honor his father. For your desires have made void the word of God. It's a pretty neat trick if you can get away with it. Make void what God actually says while still claiming to be on God's side, and then using it as a hammer over the disciples. Jesus, no ecumenist here. There's no never-ending dialogue with them, but a clear teaching. You hypocrites, hear and understand. It's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of them. These words are obviously so harsh that the disciples themselves approach Jesus and say, Jesus, do you know that the Pharisees were offended at these words? Jesus, you're not winning friends and influencing people. Can you do something to smooth this over? And Jesus' reaction to those disciples is, you've got to be kidding me. Are you still without understanding? And he sharpens his point. What comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. Notice what Jesus has done. He's quoted the Ten Commandments, more or less in order. You want to know sin? There is your mirror. And it's a clear one. If you have a shred of understanding, you will see it. It takes hypocrites. Or, as the Apostle John would say, people whom the truth is not in, to construct ways to deny the simple sense. It takes those whose hearts are far from God to teach doctrines and commandments of men. Now, after that scene, Jesus leaves the Pharisees and heads to Tyre and Sidon. And Tyre and Sidon isn't even Galilee, where there might be Gentiles around, but it's still a Jewish area. Tyre and Sidon never even belonged to the kingdom of Solomon. To those Pharisees who had questioned Jesus, just going to that region would probably make him unclean. And behold, look, Matthew's editorial insert when something big is coming, look, a Canaanite woman from the region came out and was crying. A Canaanite, the old enemies of the Jews, the people that Israel was supposed to have exterminated from the land. That woman comes out and cries out, have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. Unlike the Pharisees, this Canaanite recognizes Jesus. She recognizes him as one with the power and the authority to grant mercy. She recognizes him as Lord, which is how a Gentile would address one with power. But she also recognizes him as the son of David. The power and the authority is rooted in a people. And the God that had tried to kill her people and warred against her former gods. This hard truth she recognizes. But Jesus ignores her. Not a word. So much so that again the disciples come and say, "Hey, tell her to go away." Notice the difference. With the Pharisees, can you tone it down a bit? We'd like fellowship with them. With this woman, send her away. So Jesus answers the disciples and her cries, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." And now I think you have to get a picture in your mind. Jesus is surrounded by the disciples and maybe a little bit of a crowd. And the woman is following, crying out from the edges of that group. And Jesus stops and says loudly, "Sorry, I'm not here for you." Most people would probably walk away at that point. But this Canaanite woman walks through that crowd of men and comes close to Jesus and prostrates herself. Knelt is such a modern word for people who have usually ripped out their communion rails. She's laying on the dirt. "Lord, help me." And the next line hangs in the text today is poison. We have a hard time coming to grips that Jesus would say such a thing. But the truth is, he's not saying anything that his disciples aren't thinking and have asked him to do in so many words. And those Pharisees would almost have demanded it. It's not right to take from the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. What distinguishes children and dogs? What defiles a person? Is it the outward form or the attitude of the heart toward the Word of God? The Pharisees in outward form were pure, but they had made void the Word. This Canaanite is outwardly impure, but her heart sees. And our translators betray us a little with her response. They steal a little bit of just how great it is. I'm quoting Matthew scholar Jeffrey Gibbs here. The combination of words that the Canaanite woman starts with occurs 40 times in the New Testament. It never has a contrastive or adversative force. She does not counter to argue with this one she calls Lord, but in fact she agrees with Jesus and explains why she does. "Yes, Lord, for even the dogs eat from the crumbs that are falling." There are those broken pieces again. And those broken pieces that fall from this Lord's table are more than enough. More than enough to heal that daughter of a Canaanite. What cuts a person off from God? What makes one part of the children? Is it outward shows of righteousness, determined by which direction society or history is flowing? Or is it confession of the Word of God? "Yes, Lord, for even the dogs eat the crumbs." The Word is more than enough. And it gathers the people of God from each tribe and race. All of the broken pieces who hear and confess. The church today often finds itself in situations illustrated by the story. A powerful societal group claiming moral high ground, even from within the church, that makes void the clear word of God. And in making it void, they claim to be advancing the cause of Christ. But it's funny to me who got called God's Rottweiler. That mean old fusty curmudgeon, or to some merely a jolly Bavarian Pope Benedict. It's also slightly amusing to see who gets called the pit bulls or the curs. It's really interesting to see what happens when a woman publicly speaks Orthodox teaching. You could ask journalist Molly Hemingway, but she wouldn't tell you. She's too nice. But to bring this home in a meaningful way, I think we really have to place ourselves in the place of the disciples. When it is people who have power and prestige, we are quick to sand the rough corners off the Word of God. That's the allure of the world. We seek the kingdom not on its own terms, but on ours. We know better, but we turn our gaze. Even in their burning glory, Sodom and Babylon could turn the gaze of Lot's wife and the merchants of the earth. At the same time, we are often too proud to prostrate ourselves, to acknowledge just how lost we are. We are too knowledgeable to say, "Lord." We are too sophisticated for the Son of David. Too proud to say, "Lord, help me. Lord, send her away. She makes us uncomfortable. Your church is a little embarrassing. It's full of broken pieces." But here, it's the broken pieces that come to the table. Here, with the faith of that Canaanite woman, we find mercy. Our nakedness is not overlooked because of our title or position, but given mercy. The church is not a woman who thinks that her Lord is stingy or mean or bankrupt. The church knows that this Lord, this Son of David, is full of grace and truth, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. The crumbs that drop from his table would be enough, but he doesn't give us crumbs. He gives us himself. God gives us himself. He doesn't let us sit under the table, but invites us to the high seat. And that is why we can offer ourselves. Open ourselves to him. Live his word. We know who the Lord is. Jesus the crucified. Who gave himself fully for you. Amen.